We should have a segment on the show, Sally's Facts.
May or may not be true.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, this is Bo with We Heart Music Radio, and as usual, we have Sally.
Hello.
All right. So I notice you've been posting a lot on We Heart Music about Splendor in the Grass. So why don't you kind of highlight some of that stuff? I know you've actually talked to the two girls that went, Amber and Gemma.
And Gemma, yeah. Well, they actually wrote those reviews, so I can't really say much about them, other than to thank them for going along for us.
Any particular thing that stood out in the pictures? Because I'm just mostly looking at the pictures, to be honest.
Yeah, not really. We're kind of restricted with photos. They've actually got a lot more photos, but because we didn't get a photographer's pass, we weren't actually meant to take photos. So all the photos are up on the Splendor's official website, if anyone wants to see. But you can probably hop along to festivalladies.com. They've got a heap more photos up there.
All right. So, so I looked at some of the photos. Looks like there's a lot of good food vendors. I know they mentioned about the food and the drinks, but I didn't realize that they're like pop-up vendors.
What do you mean?
I was under the impression that they went to town and that these vendors were shops, like stationery shops. The pictures I looked at, it looks like they're pop-up, vendors, where like So I thought that's really cool, because it's a lot of food and drinks to be had.
Yeah, well, that happens. They must do the rounds of all the festivals, because you go to every single festival here and you'll get those same old food vendors, the same types of food, pretty much.
Oh, I guess that's new to me, because usually we just get like a hot dog stand, and if that, so.
Hot dog!
So wait, there's a band that played at Splendor, was the Vaccines. Have you heard anything about this band? Because they're blowing up here.
Yeah, I don't know a huge amount about them. I know that they did their solo show at the Metro in Sydney, and it was my friend Greg went along and said it was one of the shortest shows he's ever been to. So I don't know if it's just because they're quite new and they, I guess, don't have, enough songs to fill like a 2-hour set or whatever. But I don't know a lot about them. I've heard a few of their songs, obviously, but.
All right. So I actually quite like them. I saw them open up for the Arctic Monkeys. And they had a huge crowd watching them. So, I don't think that they sound quite the same as the Arctic Monkeys, but they definitely, probably grabbed a few fans that night, because, like I said, there was a lot of people there who actually looks like they really enjoy the band. So the thing is, they just had one album, and yeah, you're right, it's a quite short album, it's like under 40 minutes. So if they did that whole album live with a few B-sides, they may not do a full, hour show.
That explains.
Yeah,
it.
but their songs are good. I think there's one song that they wrote to a model, Anna, I think was her name. I forget her name, but she's a Norwegian model, and they wrote the song about her. And I guess she must have liked the song so much that she actually later on appeared in a music video for them. And obviously the song's about her. But it's quite a good song if you ever get a chance to listen to it. It's I think that it's very catchy. There's a line where she's only 17. She's probably not ready. So it's funny if you hear it. Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, I think you should watch out for this band. I think they are probably going to be pretty big in a few years from now. You know, so if you're lucky enough to catch them now, you might not regret it later. So yeah, Greg, good one. Vines. I wasn't in the impression they broke up, but they're not, right?
No, well, yeah, I really kind of, I guess I liked them when they first came out. I jumped on that bandwagon many, many years ago, and I really hadn't kept up to date with them. I kind of got a bit annoyed with that first album after a while and just kind of stopped bothering. And I thought Craig Nichols, the front man, had a kind of, you know, gone a bit AWOL. So it's good to see that they haven't broken up. I think this is actually their possible, oh, it's the fifth album. I thought it was their fourth album. Future Primitive, it's called. According to their website, it's undoubtedly their best and most consistent record. So they're quite modest. yeah, so I haven't actually heard the album yet. So it'll all be new to me. I'm just interested to see what they're like live these days. So it'll be good night, I hope.
Sounds like it's going to be a pretty good night then.
By Papa Versus Pretty, who I think I've spoken about before. They've got a recently released album as well, which I don't think I've spoken about. It's, you know, it's really not, it's not my thing. That's my polite way of saying I don't like it a lot. But the guy, I don't know his name, but the guy who sings, he's just amazing on guitar. He's just amazing to watch, just what he can do with a guitar. So it's good to, they're a really good little band, but and they're really young, so it makes me feel really old.
Okay, so the guy's name is Thomas Rowley. Says on here that they started when he was 15, so he must be 17 now or 18.
Yeah, he's got to be old. They've got to be older than that because.
All right. Well, it says he started when he was 15, so I don't know how long they've been around.
I know he kind of gives me the vibe. The sort of vibe I get from him, I could be completely wrong. It's just me just judging wildly, making bold statements that may or may not be true, is that he seems like a guy who's probably spent a lot of time just fiddling around with a guitar, just, you know, hours and hours, and has just come up with hundreds of songs and probably only seeing just a few of what he's done. I could be wrong. He might have just written 10. I don't know, but he seems like someone who's really, like, crazily music focused.
We'll take that as fact.
Well, it's in my head, so I'll probably never believe different unless I hear it from his own mouth.
Thomas Raleigh, guitar noodler. Anyway, do you know where they got their name from by any chance? You probably don't.
Not a clue, no.
It sounds like something like from a Madonna song or something.
Maybe it's Papa who is ugly versus someone who is pretty. It's like a boxing match.
Ah, okay.
That's again something I've just made up. So
another fact.
I was on your side. Oh, for it I lost mine. Now you don't feel it at all. Oh, you never ask, I never talk.
So you were telling me about these festivals that gets announced in like a year in advance, and then as they move closer to the date, and then they're not seeing the pre-sale hitting their numbers, they cancel the festival. Is that right? Is this more common recently?
Yeah. Well, I've just kind of noticed it through various music news avenues. That kind of rhymes. There's been a couple that I can think of that I've seen. There's possibly even more. For instance, Soundwave Revolution, which kind of looked... I'm surprised that that didn't sell well because it was pretty bad. Pretty hilarious lineup. People like... I think like Aerosmith and Hole and a whole lot of old bands that I guess maybe, I don't know, you'd think that older bands would appeal to people who now have real jobs and could afford to go to these things, but maybe everyone's just turning into big nanas these days and not buying tickets to the, although these sort of, I don't know if it's the same over there, but festivals are just so overpriced these days, like, you know, hundreds of dollars to see a few, like, you know, it's usually only a few bands on the lineup that you really want to see as well. So I don't know, it's crazy.
Okay, so what is a affordable/decent price, would you say, you can charge somebody for a 3-day ticket?
3 days.
Oh, well, is it like normally 2 days?
Well, there's a few, the Soundwave Revolution, this festival was, as far as I know, was just a one-day festival. So I would say for 1 day, you'd want to pay $100.
Now, that's $100 Australian dollars. I think $100 is expensive. Okay, because to me, I think a Benjamin is pretty expensive for a show.
Well, an all-day with like some international bands.
Okay.
So,
but you're talking the likes of Aerosmith, I don't know, Kylie Minogue or whatever.
Possibly, yeah. Bon Jovi. I don't know. I can't remember the line. I'm just kind of speaking off the top of my head.
We'll just throw in some band and make it facts, like Whitesnake is playing and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, for those type of band actually doesn't appeal to me but personally, but I know that somebody who's a big fan of that type of music would pay like about $150 to see them. That's still quite a bit of money, but
yeah, I think because the market's kind of flooded with various festivals these days, people can't afford to go to all of them.
That's yeah. So I mean, you guys have one every week or?
Oh, it seems like it. But, yeah, you really have to pick and choose. Like, so you'll pick maybe two or three that you really want to go to if you want to go to them at all, because otherwise, you know, it's just so expensive. Because, you know, it's not just the ticket price. You got to get in, and these places, like the bar, you can't take alcohol in. So if you want to drink, not even alcohol, but even soft drinks, you know, it's so overpriced. And it's, you know, the day you have to get there and back, and ugh, life is hard.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean,
yeah, well, as I've just said, it's, I guess it's the expense and the fact there's so many of them that, you know, they you know, just not, it's not sustainable.
I also like to think that maybe the musicians are demanding too much, and with I am assuming that the festival people are paying for the airfare, right?
Yeah, well, you'd think so.
Right. So, and that's probably not cheap, because, you know, I mean, they're probably not going to fly coach.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I can't see, I don't know, singer, what's his name, Tyler. I can't see him, like, sitting next to, you know, a baby crying in the back.
That's true. That's true.
And then I think, like to think, yeah, I think maybe the cost of just the staff and the band itself, really, that $100 ticket is actually quite a bargain on your part. You're probably not even paying for the, you know, and I'm sure promotion, which is advertisements, is probably super expensive as well. So.
Oh, but the thing is, they're not, the tickets aren't $100. They're heaps more.
Oh, right.
That's what I would pay, but I am a tight ass.
And how much are they selling these at these festivals?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. La 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 la. My thinking music.
All right. So yeah. You know, I just did a roundup of a festival that's happening around the U.S. and average ticket prices for a 3-day ticket event is about $100. It's about $33 a day, or about $40.
For 3 days? Wow, that's really cheap.
We might have like dollar issues, because to me it's affordable. It's not like cheap. It's not a bargain, but it's affordable.
So if you came here and we're going to pay like $500 for a 3-day festival.
Oh, I would die.
Lose your shit.
No, I know.
But that's because I'm splintering the grass. I think for camping, 3 days plus camping, it was about $400.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Wow.
No. Plus food, plus getting there. That, it's crazy, crazy talk. But that's, and that's, I think a lot of people probably just save up and do like one of those sort of festivals every year, because you can't. You can't do more than one at that price.
I don't wanna go out tonight to a friend's folk festival in my hometown. You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to.
Since we're talking about new bands, why don't we touch on the Voltaire Twins?
Well, I don't. Again, I know they're Australian. They're from Perth. They have a new single out called Animalia, which I'm not sure. I don't know if you remember that book, if you were a kid, where it was a really like illustrated book, and you had to find the kid in each picture.
Oh, like Where's Waddle?
Waldo. Yeah, we call him Wally here for some
Where's
reason.
Where's Wally, really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Sorry, you just blew my mind.
I forgot that you called him Waldo, but yeah, where's Wally?
Uh-huh.
It's similar to that, but it was like many, many zillions of years, I think, before Where's Wally. So yeah, as far as I know, they're fairly new.
You know, it says on here that on the Wikipedia that they're actually real twins, James and Tegan.
Oh, there you go. Your plant, your fact. When you said they weren't actually twins before, is not a true fact.
Is one of them a boy and one of them is a girl, or
Well, I'm just looking at the picture. I would say yes, even though they kind of both look like girls, but. But this is the picture. I don't know if you've seen it. They look like they're covered in in some sort of grease and they need a bit of a wash. So maybe when they're not so dirty, they might look less similar. But, you know, twins are meant to look similar, aren't they?
Yes.
It's part of the shtick of twins. But, yeah, this Animalia song, which I've actually, what you can, if you go to their website, you can see their film clip for it. It's actually quite a good little song. And it's from their first EP called Romulus, which is going to be out in October. So that'll be interesting. Looks like they've supported supported Ladytron. So it will kind of give you a bit of an idea of what they're like. They're not, it's kind of a little bit electronic, obviously, because there's a lot of synth happening. If that's what you like, then I advise you to check them out, really.
It looks like it says on here that there's a bunch of Australian bands coming to New York City in October to do CMJ, the College Music Journal Music Marathon. And so the Jezebels, Philadelphia Grand Jury among the Australian bands. Guess what? we have Laura. She's Lara, sorry. Lara's going to actually do a CMJ this year. So I will kindly point my finger in that Australian area.
Yeah, well, both the Jezebels and Philadelphia Grand Jury are good as well. So check it out.
You want to end the show with the Voltaire Twins?
Yeah, chuck that song on. Animalia, I think it's called.
Summer on our roof.
I am doing that thing that you said that I do.
Okay. Can I just quickly mention about my friend Ilki here? Okay, so I met this guy before I started We Heart Music in, I met this guy in like 2000 and something, 2002. And he didn't do music back then. He was an actor who have appeared, I believe, in a cut scene from the X-Men. You know that movie, the X-Men?
Yeah.
Anyway, the first one, and I think he had something to do with that movie. But anyway, but he was kind of like an aspiring actor, and he's been in a few made for TV show. I don't really want to get into it because I don't really know. Anyway, so it turns out he actually as a side project does music as well, and. I guess he sent me this video that he made. I actually have not seen it, so I feel really bad about talking about it. But it's called Careless, and it's the whole music concept, video, lyrics, direction was all done by him. And I think he's going into kind of like a directing role, I guess. So it should be kind of interesting to see where he goes, because he's really a nice guy. And I guess I just wanted to mention that. Let's see. So yeah, I'll just play a little clip of his stuff.
Are you so mired in pain that you can't see my hand? That you can't see my hand by your side? Are you so lost in hurt that you won't accept help? That you won't accept help? Only pain.
I guess I'm gonna see the vines tonight, and what's that noise?
That's my cat.
Is that a cat?
It's my cat.
I want all the to do something. I want the dogs to do it with me. And all the cats go. All the dogs go. And the cats go. I want you to join in now. Cats. Add to the live flavour.